Good evening. Trust you're glad to be here. I thought it sounded awesome from where I was sitting. Wonder what Josh was hearing up here, but it was good. Truly, we have come to sing, and we have something to sing about. I trust you have something to sing about. I remember the day when I didn't sing much or sang the wrong songs. And blessing for that. Tonight, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to talk about four different men tonight and what their input was in their lives and how they lived and maybe a little bit about them. By the way, I do want to say that I appreciated the young people very much today. What you did was awesome. I think it was great, and I would just vote for more of that. There's a little bit of worship time. It's not about seeing how great it sounds and all that, but it's the worship behind it that I think is such a blessing. Luke 10, verse 25, we'll start in there. Says, "Behold, a certain lawyer came up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' He said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus answering said unto him, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go and do thou likewise.'" I don't really have a title. I could title it, "Who is My Neighbor?" Or "Go and do thou likewise." You write down what you want to write down. But we're going to talk about these men just a little bit. First off, we're going to talk about this certain man that was going to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you look at the parable of what Christ was saying here, this was a certain man that was intentionally going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Literally, it was downhill, but also spiritually, it was downhill, leaving the city of God, going to Babylon. Leaving the city of God, putting his back towards God, intentionally walking away from God, and his mind and face towards the world. This man chose to walk this path, a path that maybe we're not going to talk a lot about this man tonight, because that's not what the parable is pointing at. But the parable here, we'll just talk a little bit about him, a man that has chosen to take this route. He is going the wrong way. Intentionally, he's become helplessly wounded, unable to help himself, in need of someone to intercede totally dependent, without hope, in need of cleansing and healing. I trust a lot of us here tonight can remember those days. You remember where you were then? You remember how it was? Wounded, desolate, totally needing help for someone to intercede into your life. Now, we can say the Lord interceded, but in my life, I have a testimony of many brothers that interceded in my life, and some, we'll just talk about that a little later. But anyway, this man, this was his direction he was going. But it's amazing to me that this lawyer that came to Jesus, when he said about, he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." Why didn't the lawyer ask something about that part of the verse? He said, but when it come to loving your neighbor as yourself, his question was, well, arrogantly asking, I believe, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And tonight, I'd like to question, the question referring to much more as who is my neighbor is, am I that neighbor? Are you that neighbor? That's the question I'd like for us to ponder on tonight. Am I that neighbor? Now, what does that mean? Well, let's take a look at that. This man fell among the thieves. He's helplessly lying along the road. He is bleeding. He is wounded. And here it says, and Jesus said, leaving him half dead. He is stripped of his raiment. He is wounded beyond the ability to help himself. His thieves departed. They left him helpless. They left him naked. They left him bleeding. Okay, here he's lying along the road, and this is a parable. I understand that, but here it says, Jesus said, and by chance, here comes a man along the road that this certain priest came that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I'd like to share a little bit here. There's a point I'd like to bring. If you look at Scripture, all the way from the beginning of Genesis throughout Revelation 18, you'll find this. There was always the two sides, two choices. And Adam was told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but to eat of the tree of life. And so he chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He chose that way. They were both set in there by God. And then you look on further down the road with Cain and Abel. You have the two sides again. Both of these men brought an offering to God, to the same living God, the God of heaven. One was accepted. One was not. One referred to. Then you go on down to just to bring a few in, like Saul, the King Saul. He was, the Bible tells us that he was a man, when God asked to choose him, when they were ready to anoint him, they couldn't find this man, and they found him hiding among his stuff. That's how humble he was. So here, and they brought him out, and the Bible tells us he was taller than any other man in Israel, from his shoulders on up. So when you looked at the crowd of 1,000 men of Jews, here was this Saul standing above them, more than a head height, and you saw his head. Well, you look down through Saul's life, that's the way he operated. He operated from the knowledge of the head. Now you look at David, the opposite side of that. He was a man after God's own heart. The heart. The compassion that David had. And this went on down through. And here we have the same thing meeting here. When Jesus, this certain lawyer, came up to him. And the question he asked to start with, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What's wrong with that question? Explain. So, in the light of today, what can you do to inherit your mom and dad's possessions when they pass away? It's what you are. It's who you are, right? It's not what you do. So this question here was wrong to start with, and that is why we don't see Jesus telling him anything about being born again. He said, what's written in the law? Oh, he said, yeah, he had the answer right. He said, you've answered right. If you do this, you can get to heaven. But who is here tonight that can love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, never once failing in that area? It's impossible. But he said, this do, Jesus said, and you shall be okay. So he said, let me tell you a story. And he told him this story here. And here is this priest coming along who is full of knowledge. He is full. I had to think of that song we sang, that stone was hewn out of the mountain. He was full of knowledge. He was full of science. He was full of culture, wasn't he not? He was full of all that. He had everything together. He was religiously correct, self-exaltation, ceremonially correct, clean on the outside, empty on the inside, and nothing to offer. When I think of this, and we sit here tonight as this little congregation, can you think of anyone that is, or maybe you know, maybe about yourself, that you're lying along the road, or someone who's lying along the road who is wounded, who is desolate, in need of help? How do we look at somebody like that? How do we look at them? You know, I read this parable the other day, and I thought, you know, I am one of these guys. I am one of these. And if you look at the Levite and the priest, there wasn't a lot of difference between the two, but you still see the religion without the power of the Holy Spirit is useless. It has nothing. It has nothing to offer. It has no compassion. It has law on itself. But Christ came, and what the law could not do, Christ died for our sins. And here we have this priest came here, and then the Levite, it says further, here comes the next man I want to talk about. He says, likewise, a Levite, and possibly this lawyer might have been a Levite, I don't know. When he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, if you look at the priest, I don't think the priest, the Bible says he just kind of saw him. He kind of glanced over there. He might have saw him laying there and never looked at it at all, just kind of walked on like, I'm not going to get involved type thing. But when I think of us brothers here today, and we may have young people or someone who is struggling along the way, or maybe he's not where he needs to be, or maybe you've seen him fail again at all that time, what kind of an attitude do I show towards that? It really does matter. You know, I thought about a question to ask myself, in a case like that, what have I done? Have I done anything at all to be a drawing factor to bring this soul into the fold? Or do I just glance at him and I haven't spoken to him for a year and a half. He's not even worth speaking to. Let him go. The Levite here, he said he came and looked on him. It looks like he came from where he was. He went over and kind of glanced at him and kind of maybe thought a little bit about it, but then he thought, well, if I touch him, I'll be unclean. I can't be unclean. I can't touch his wounds. He's a keeper of the law. He dare not touch anything unclean. He is outside, he is perfectly clean, but inside he is full of dead men's bones. Inside he is full, he has a scolding attitude, and again, nothing to offer. So both of these men left this man lay along the wayside, left him lay for all kinds of excuses that we can come up with today. We can let these men lie along the roadside. It doesn't matter. Or does it? Let's read a little further. And here comes the next man we're going to talk about is a Samaritan, and whom this lawyer despised. They didn't even so much as want to walk through that Samaria. They were told to go outside around, much less speak to one. But here Jesus said, he brings this Samaritan into the picture, into the equation. And he said, as he journeyed, I want you to listen to the steps where he, I'll read this again. He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Brothers and sisters, this is the man I want to talk about. This is the neighbor I want to talk about. This is the neighbor that I trust that you are. First off, we see he came where he was. Did Jesus come where you were? Did he come right where you were? What about your, what, how do you remember that? Do you remember that he came right where you were? Down, out, wounded, discouraged, despondent, without hope. The master didn't say, when you come up to me, I'll talk to you. He came down to where we were, did he not? Left his throne in glory, condescended down to the lowest state of man, reached down for you and I. We tend to forget this, brothers and sisters. We tend to forget how helpless we were. We tend to forget how wrapped up in religion we were. How wrapped up we were in religion to where we had everything right. We had all our ducks in a row, per se. We had everything figured out and mastered out until we realized by reading the Holy Scriptures that we need help. We need help. And he was there. He came where I was. He had compassion. He had a love poured out. And brothers and sisters, I remember very well a number of brothers that showed this very thing into my life. Some came another way. And I'll talk about that. And the Bible says again, not only he came to him to where he was, when he saw him, he went to him. He went to him. He literally went down. When he came to him, he probably saw him on the side of the ditch, and he maybe had to go back to his beast and get something. But here, the second time he come around, he went right down into the ditch, and he pulled this young man up in his arms, and he lifted him up. Brothers and sisters, this is a neighbor. This is compassion. This is what we need. This is what we need, those type of things. Our hands will get bloodied. They'll get dirty. It's okay. Stooping down to where these men, these women, they need this to be lifted up. Someone needs to intercede. Will you be that neighbor? Will I be that neighbor? And I want you to notice what he did next. He bound up his wounds, and then he poured in oil and wine. And brothers and sisters, it doesn't say wine and then oil. He didn't pour in that burning fluid first. He didn't pour in that thing that just burns and stings. And no, he poured and he covered all them wounds with oil, soothing oil. And after they were soothed and covered with oil, he pours in the wine. The oil was meant to take away the pain, and then the wine was there as a cleansing agent to keep the infection out and then bind it up in that kind of way. You might say, what's the difference? The difference is this. Too often when we see someone laying along the roadside, wounded in despair and despondency, the first thing we do from our lofty position is we tell them, you're lost and you're going to hell. You need to be saved. You need the blood of Jesus. But what about the oil, brothers? That soothing oil, pouring it in, the soothing agent into the wounds of this man, that refers to you and I becoming this wounded soul, a friend. Becoming a friend. Becoming someone he can trust. You know, way too often we pour in that wine and we say things like, Yeah, you're a despicable man. Basically, in my own words, I can't stand you. Brothers and sisters, Lord, help us. Christ did not do that to us. Neither will he ever do that again. Christ, if you read throughout the scriptures, you can't find anywhere where Jesus ever scolded someone. Did he have opportunity? Absolutely. I think on the way to from Bethany to Jerusalem, for the last time, you read it in Luke chapter, not sure which, I think 17 or 18, the last trip, the last morning, his face was set toward Jerusalem. He knew he was never coming back to Bethany again. And behind him walked these 11 men. And what are they talking about? They're talking about who's going to be the greatest. I think when I read that passage, I would have turned around and scolded them men, like, don't you ever catch on. But he didn't, because he saw. And so many times when we look at these wounded brothers and sisters, maybe we have a brother and sister that has lost their way, or maybe they've been distracted or whatever. How do we approach that? Not only did he pour in the oil and the wine, the soothing agent, then the healing agent, he then set this person on his own beast. And I'm not sure how he did this, if he set him on his beast and he walked along beside, or if he sat on the beast and carried this man in front of him. Either way, it was nothing but a dirty, bloody mess all the way to the inn. He took him all the way to the inn that way. And brothers and sisters, we can refer to the inn, what he's talking about here. This is New Testament. It's the church, bringing them into the church, nurturing them, bringing them in, and inviting them in. You notice he didn't clean up this mess first. He took him in that way. He took him in that way. He didn't say, well, you got to be this, this, and this before we take you in. He brought him in that way, but he didn't stop there. He nurtured him. And listen what it says, and took care of him. How long did he take care of him? The next verse says, on the morrow. This man, I'm just thinking about this. This Samaritan, I don't know what he had planned on that day, but his plans were completely changed. When he saw this man lying along the road, he stopped what he was planning to do. He stopped going. He turned around. He took this man all the way to the inn, and he took him in there, and he sat with him all night long. Through the wee hours of the morning, taking care of this man, being sure he's cared for. It doesn't say anything that he rested. He took care of him all night, and the next morning, when he was ready to go, he still didn't just leave him go. He said, here, to the host, he says, here's 2 pence. Take care, and he told the host, take care of him. Not only did he say that, and you know, these are Jesus' words. You can do with this what you want to do, but I believe, this is what I believe. These 2 pence are somehow 2 measures of time, whatever they may be. 2 measures of time. He said, whatever, I'll give you 2 pence, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more than that, when I come again, I will repay thee. Brothers, I'd like to speak to the leaders of the church just for a moment. You ever been weary? You ever been wore out? You ever been tried? Did you ever think that same old sheep is wandering away again? There he goes. And here he comes, he's sorry again. Did you ever think that? Don't be weary, because I will tell you this. Whatever the Lord has given you, whatever the talents that the Lord has given you to spend on these souls, whatever you spend more than that, you will get gratefully repaid. You believe that? You're not doing this for pay. However, let's not also throw the rewards out the door. They're there. For every soul, and I believe that we sit here tonight, and I believe that we can think of men who are neighbors just like this. We can think of sisters who are neighbors just like this, who have compassion, who care. who not only ask you how you are, but they ask you how you are because they care. Engage in conversation. These type of things, the searching question comes tonight. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? You notice what this lawyer said. He didn't say the Samaritan. He hated Samaritans. He said, well, I guess the guy that did showed mercy on him. My message to all of us tonight is go and do thou likewise. And you may say, well, I never saw anybody lay along the road. Look around. They're there. Look around you with a caring heart, and you'll find them. And I do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to hold us accountable with how we use those. What we think of those, the very motive behind our thoughts and our actions toward those. So many times we look at someone and we quickly make a judgment and we walk on past. You know why? Because most of the time, we have nothing to share. Because most of the time, we look good on the outside, but we're empty on the inside. That's why we walk past. So brothers and sisters, read your Bible. Pray often. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, that when you meet someone, the Spirit of God would guide you, and you'll have something to offer and take care of them who have fallen by the wayside. God bless you.